Good morning. It's wonderful to be here, and I'm so blessed to, sometimes I just say, you're here, and I know God's here, you know? You just know that, you just really sense that I don't know why, but he just wants to be with us. It isn't that beautiful? I was just wondering if you could turn the lights down up there just a little bit, please. Thank you. That's great. Well, I brought this cane up not because I need it, but for another reason, which you'll find out later. This morning, I've been asked to speak about the prophet. But today's Valentine's Day. So, happy Valentine's Day, and to everyone out there, and I hope you're having a good day so far. I know that we've been really blessed so far. My husband and I have already had, you know, text from our children, you know, saying happy Valentine's Day. But I just, you know, with this topic of the prophet, I just wanted to put a little bit of levity to it first before I get started, because it can get a little serious at times. So I just wanted to show you this little picture that I have here. It says, I'm so glad you're back. The pillow exploded and I thought I was going to die. So I don't know about you, but I like animals, and I thought, you know, I guess what struck me funny is that they had really tried to contain this animal in the kitchen, thinking with all the stainless steel appliances that they would be okay. But what they didn't realize was that all he wanted was to be near his owner. You know, like that's all he wants is for his caretaker to be with him. So. I thought, oh, so this big explosion happened. So I'm reading from the scriptures, Ephesians 4:11, and it's Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. You know, it was Martin Luther, the reformer, that said that he thought that prophets were a strange bunch, and that they would go around from place to place, and they weren't always clear in how they communicated things. So I hope to kind of demystify that a bit for you today and just kind of show you that prophets are normal people like any of us here, they can be anyone here. And what I'm going to be speaking a bit about today is Moses. And I'm also going to, as an example of a great prophet, but also Jesus Christ as the prophet, fulfillment of the prophet in the New Testament. Just hoping that you'll be able to enjoy this and just learn a few things. We know in the Old Testament that the prophets had certain roles. So the certain roles of the prophets, and there was also a group called the seers. And the seers were watchmen, and they reported things that they saw or heard in visions. But the prophets interpreted mysteries, signs, hidden things. They spoke forth God's message for a particular situation and time for the cause of the kingdom, and they performed miracles, miraculous signs, and they warned people or nations to return to God. So their focus was on restoration. Their focus was on bringing people and other nations, not just the Israelites, but other nations. They wanted them to change as well. So just a bit about myself and my own call to ministry. This is the scripture that when I was teaching Sunday school in Victoria, God gave this to me. A man was preaching on this particular passage of scripture in John 21. And Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I do love you." And he said, "Well, then take care of my sheep." And then he said the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because John asked him the third time, and Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And it was then that I realized, you know, teaching Sunday school was with the lambs, and then when I was taking care of the sheep on Salt Spring, you know, Jim was telling you about how he was the pastor and how he used to work with the sheep and clean them and shear them and etc. And I was his helper, you know. They wouldn't follow my voice, but I would, you know, clean stalls and help with lambing and things like this. So, but it wasn't until I moved to Salt Spring Island that I realized that Jesus said, "Follow me." He didn't say, "Follow being a prophet." He didn't say, "Follow being a pastor," or "Follow this person," or he said, "Follow me." It's that simple. Follow me. Don't worry about becoming a pastor. Don't worry about your ministry of what you have to do. He said, "Follow me. Respond to the call." And the scripture that they gave me on Salt Spring Island was Matthew 24:37. And you know what we were doing? We were working in our church, and we just kind of felt, you know, we're not doing enough. Because Salt Spring Island is an eclectic mix of religions, all kinds of gods are worshipped there, everything. And so this particular scripture says, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will be coming, will the coming of the Son of Man be." You know, what really spoke to me in that was when we were with all these different people groups on that island, all the different religions, and what really spoke to me is that they did not understand. They did not understand. And I wanted them to understand, and I think this is where my call was really solidified, is that I wanted them to understand, because I wanted them to be known by God, and I wanted them to know God. And to be known by God is a very intimate thing. It's very personal. It's listening and hearing the voice of God. And God began to train me to hear his voice. And he can do that with anyone here. He is already doing that with many, many, many people. And he wants us to hear his voice. And so that's what I wanted. I wanted the ability to be able to hear his voice and be able to communicate that to other people. And so in the ministry was a good place for me to learn that, because you know, when you're up here, standing up here preaching, you have to say to yourself, "These are all my friends." And you have to say that to yourself, because Jesus said that as well. "You are my friends." And so understanding the prophet is understanding the heart of God. And a prophet really strives to know the will of God. He is very, very certain that things have to be accurate as far as God's sovereignty, and he is loyal to that. A prophet's very loyal to that. So the next slide will be the prophet's call, and maybe these are just a few questions to ask yourself about what a prophet, the call of a prophet would look like. And it would be, what concerns me about the suffering of others? Do I feel disturbed, frustrated, sad, or agitated at one thing in particular? How does rebellion, opposition to the truth, or church disunity affect me? And how do I react in times of spiritual opposition, injustice, or oppression? These are all things that are important to the prophetic community. They care deeply about widows and orphans. They care deeply about visiting the sick and oppression. Now, I'm not just going to take that as just being for prophets. Of course, pastors are that way, and teachers and evangelists, or else we wouldn't be doing the work. But if you can ask yourself of these questions, which ones of these mean something to me? How do I feel about learning? How do I feel about that? But how do we learn? My poor husband has really had to put up with me learning. I am really serious about that. Here's I'll give you about three examples. Number one, we're driving down the road and God says, look into the field. So I look into the field and there's a big cow stuck in the mud. It's stuck, And I'm going, Jim, there's a cow stuck in the mud. And so turn around, we have to go and try to get this cow out. Well, we couldn't get to the cow. But at another time, he's done this too, stopped for animals, sheep stuck in the water. But one time we're driving on the road and God says, go talk to that man on the motorcycle that's sitting over there. I said, no, I don't want to, because we're driving down the road. But if you know that little voice, that niggly little voice that won't let you, the farther down the road, it's still there. So then finally, and this is why I say Jim has to bear with me, because by now my saying no has pushed us now another 15 kilometers down the road. So then I come back. And then I get out of the car, I walk up to this fellow and I say, I just want you to know that Jesus Christ really loves you. And he says to me, lady, all I want to do is sit here and look at the view. So what did I do? I just turned around and I just I walked away, But I learned something. Just because you obey God's voice, don't look at their face and don't expect anything, right? You have to learn to overcome the misunderstandings, the laughing, the what are other people going to say, it's a cow in the field, all of those things, because you're learning, you're learning. One time I'm driving, we're driving down the road again. Jim, stop, that house is on fire, And he goes, what? The house is on fire. So we drove back and I looked and I'm sure there's medication for this, I don't know. But I look and then it looked to me like the whole house was on fire. But It wasn't, these, and it's like, God, sometimes these things are right and sometimes they're wrong and people don't understand me and I don't know what I'm doing and on, but I learned to listen and kind of refine what I was doing and realize this is a learning process, there's not going to be a test at the end of this. I'm learning to hear. Learning to hear, and like I said, I got things wrong. But when we're looking at prophet speech, we see that it's an announcement of imminent or future disaster to an individual or nation. It's a commission to go. Now, we look at the woe speeches of the Old Testament, woe is you, Jerusalem, and then, Jesus had a few of the woe speeches in the New Testament, woe unto you, Capernaum, and so, where we're going is that, the Old Testament and the New Testament are, they're linked, you know, they're linked. There's different speeches that are going on here. But a commission to go, God commissioned Moses. Jesus commissioned us. There's an announcement of salvation, restoration for individuals or nations, an announcement of judgment and punishment. We see those in the Old Testament, don't we? We see those quite a bit. You know, Abraham pleaded with God for Sodom and Gomorrah, and Isaiah, prophetically announced the plan of salvation through a coming Messiah. It was Jeremiah that lamented over his nation, and then there was also extolling the virtues of God, to plead with or complain to God for an end to punishment. So the prophets did a lot of different things in the Old Testament. And where I'm going with this is that I want you to see something. I want you to know that often prophets are brought out of the darkness into a place where they have to learn by going back into the darkness. Now, I know that sounds strange, and I don't want you to say, oh, Elaine, you're preaching heresy. But what I'm trying to say is we learn. It's like we learn through those dark times in our life, don't we? We learn. We do. It's like when I used to clean in motel rooms. If you wanted to really see if the mirrors were dirty, you'd turn the lights out, and then you had just a really dim light. You go in the bathroom and you could see where the mirrors were dirty. Any of you who are ever cleaners, you know what that's like. But in knowing God, J.I. Packer said, this is right. Sooner or later, God's guidance, which brings us out of the darkness into the light, will also bring us out of the light into the darkness. And this is the way of the cross. So it's a preparation time, and we can see that by examples in the Old Testament, one of them being Moses. Moses was a great example of being brought out of the darkness into God's light. But then what did he have to do? He had to go back. Why did he have to go back? Because of God's sympathy to the affliction of the Israelites. He said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering. You can go to the next slide. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. God said to Moses, so go now. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. In other words, there's a problem with God when people are worshiping false gods, right? There's a problem with that. There's corruption in the worship. It's not a true God, and God's sympathy is for his covenant people and for the oppressed. He is so compassionate. He said God's nature is compassion. It is mercy, kindness, or goodwill toward the miserable, the afflicted, and it's joined with, this is the key. The prophet wants to relieve that suffering and bring people out of the captivity. Because the mercy is according to God's covenant, which is, I will deliver you out of the hands of your enemy, etc. So we get on to Moses, and Moses is a great example of a leader who came out of worshiping all the gods, understanding what that whole life and culture was like. Then he comes back and he says, Moses said, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? So these are one of the fears that Moses, and like again, getting back to that, there's a great many fears that people can have as they're starting to hear God's voice. What if people don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? What if they think I'm strange because I'm looking at this or doing that, or, And so the Lord said to Moses, "What is that in your hand?" And I brought one today. I brought this because this is actually Jim's sheep rod or shepherd's staff, I guess. He used to use it for a lot of different things. He used to use this for the geese, for the lambs. He'd grab them around the neck. Or sometimes if the ram was coming at him, he always took this in the field if the ram was coming around, you know. But sometimes you get knocked down and anyway, but he got knocked down, didn't you? You got knocked down once or twice. Yeah, he just sauntered into the field when the ram was there, and the ram just, before he even knew what hit him, the ram took him down. And one other time, again, you can get caught off guard, right? One other time I went in, I didn't have this with me. Do you know what I had in my hand? A bucket of sheep mix. You know, it says, feed my sheep. Well, sheep eat molasses with corn, oats, and barley. I think it's those three all together. And each one has a different value. But anyways, I had this bucket in my hand. I opened the gate, closed the gate, and I'm walking, and all of a sudden, there he is, right there, where you are standing. He's looking at me, and I don't have this now. I have food. Well, what does he want? He wants the food. He wants the food. He's going to get it from me. So what does he do? He lowers his head. Not a good sign. Not a good sign, because you know what's coming next, the charge. The charge is coming. So I'm thinking, man, I saw Jim get knocked down, and it stuns you, you know. I think Jim, it just stunned him, you know, because these animals are so big. Well, I saw him lower his head, and I stood there, and then I thought, run, run, run for your life. Run for your life. So when it says here, this thing right here, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground. It became a snake and he ran. I get that. I get that. I know how powerful these things are, you know? And that's even worse than what I just had, like this ram. And so, you know, I dropped the bucket and ran. And of course, he didn't care. He came up and ate all the corn, all everything, which was for the whole flock. He ate it all. But I'm not going in that field to get that. No, 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 no. I am not. I'm not going to do it. But I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, when Moses had this, and God said, "What is in your hand?" What was in his hand was this, a shepherd's rod. That's what it was. Like, there's nothing fancy about a shepherd's rod. It's a protective device. It's an object. It's a symbol. It can be whatever you want it to be, but for Moses, it was a work article, an article of work, like work boots, shepherd's rod, you know, that kind of thing. So, but this is what God changed. This is the thing where Moses changed from the shepherd into a leader, a deliverer. So I was thinking at home, and I was thinking, I wonder what this is like when you just, like, throw that down. But you know, he would have thrown it down on like a hard brick, kind of a, I don't know, like a, you know, like cement type floor. It would have made a racket, you know, it really would have. And then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take this thing by the tail. So he took it out and took it, and it turned into a snake. And the Lord said, this, said the Lord, is so that they would believe that the Lord God of their fathers, Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared. So this is it. This is what it's going to be. In other words, if you want to do battle with the big boys, if you want to take on the big boys, you better have an object that is a viable, tangible connection to God's power. Because it isn't in the shepherd. It isn't in the prophet, and it isn't in the evangelist or the teacher. There is nothing powerful about humanity. Nothing. And you have to know that. So So he did. And, you know, he also, the Old Testament talks about, and this is a connection, about the false prophet. So the false prophet, it says, if a prophet or a seer appears announcing and producing a miraculous sign or wonder and said, let us fall or worship other gods, he's a false prophet. And if what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. So we need to know these things because these are the last days, folks. You know, when Jesus came on the earth, it was the beginning. And, you know, it says that spiritual warfare, the process of, refers to those instances in ministry where the leader discerns that ministry conflict is primary supernatural in its source and essence. He depends on God's power to solve the problem in such a way that his leadership capacity, particularly his spiritual authority, is demonstrated and expanded. So what we see with Moses is a progression in leadership. Do you notice that? He didn't start out well. You know, if you know about, you know, the burning bush, run. You know, he was running. He was saying, no, you know. But we do know this about Moses. He accepted what God wanted him to do. And it says here in this story that we see a change in Moses when Moses replies to Pharaoh, it will be as you say, so that you may know there is no one like the Lord our God. Well, that was a progressive statement, wasn't it? In other words, he didn't get there overnight. We don't get there overnight. We start with small things, we do things wrong, and then we learn. We learn from the dark times. You know, there's this song, and it's called I'm No Longer a Slave to Fear, I Am a Child of God. And I believe that's where Moses had to come to. That not only did he want Pharaoh to acknowledge the only true God, but Moses had to acknowledge that in his own heart as well. He had to acknowledge it. And in the New Testament, it says that a prophet is moved by the Spirit of God as a spokesman, solemnly declaring to men what he has received by inspiration, especially future events, as relating to the cause of the kingdom of God and human salvation. So we see that there is some differences, and we can see those differences when we come to the New Testament, Luke 4. And this is a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ, Jesus' inaugural speech. The beginning of his ministry in Nazareth. He spoke as a prophet. He identified with the prophet Isaiah by preaching this message of the good news. And we know that the good news is when you are in a boat and you go somewhere and you land your boat and a demon-possessed man runs up to you and says, I know who you are. The good news is setting that man free. The good news is providing food to the hungry. The good news, proclaiming freedom for prisoners. That's the good news. And Jesus said, today this is fulfilled. In other words, I identify with Isaiah. I'm identifying with Isaiah. But also, he was like Elijah the prophet in his deeds. But he's more than a prophet. He's more than a prophet, isn't he? Jesus went from Nazareth, and he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said, follow me. And he got up and followed him, and then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, there were many tax collectors and sinners came, and they were dining with Jesus and his disciples. You know, I think Jesus loved to be with the tax collectors. I think he loved being with anyone, anyone. And I think he desired to be in their presence. But then we see that the Pharisees came and they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" And I don't know about you, but have you ever had that happen where it's like you're in a room and then someone, like, they kind of look at you, but they kind of ignore you and go to your husband, or they go to your someone else, but they're going to say something that you should be hearing. And that's what I thought right away. But, you know, the thing with Jesus Christ is that when Jesus heard this, he said, it's not those that are healthy that need a physician, but those are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So the Pharisees were trying to keep their strict rules and regulations, and they wanted people to notice that they were keeping the rules and regulations, you know. And any one of us can fall into that trap, you know. When you're around certain people, you might think, but this is where we have to overcome what do people think, right? Because Jesus Christ exposed their lack of compassion toward the thing that was needed at the time, which was compassion for the people in the room. So those are the things that we are, that I'm interested in how he reacted. I'm always interested in how Jesus reacted in certain situations, you know. And it says here that for false prophets, Jesus said this, that many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So in the end times, that there will be miracles, there will be demons cast out, there will be prophecies, but Jesus said that we're to beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. And if we look at the fruit of the Spirit, we'll see that how they're operating wasn't in the fruit of holiness or repentance. And we sang about holiness today, and I think we had the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit here today. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against these things there is no law. For those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. And then getting back to Ephesians again, where we started out, as I was reading it over, and I think Pastor Dan kind of really spurred me on to looking at the whole chapter, that I was saying, oh, what is a prophet like? And I thought, here it is. Be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. And that is important, the unity of the Spirit. And disunity can come through worshiping false gods, or just allowing that in any way, or just unity among brothers and sisters, through the bond of peace. Now, we're going to talk about compassion. So this is, if you want to put that, here's a compassion. Compassion is act now. Never mind why, go get mum. In other words, there's a little boy who's hanging upside down on a drawer. Now, if you're a mom, you know what that looks like. What that looks like is the little boy has been up on the counter, maybe after those bananas or whatever that was. Moms, what do moms do? They get the boy off. They get the boy off of there, and then you can have a talk with him later. But this is what compassion is, because compassion is action. This is the whole thing. It's an action word. Actually, compassion isn't always warm and fuzzy. Did you know that? I live with a first responder now. It's almost 44 years, and when they go in to rescue somebody, it's out of compassion, but it's not warm and fuzzy. It's messy. Sometimes helping people is messy, you know? And so is our love for one another and how we treat one another. And I think that compassion is really, really important. And I think that Jesus said this because he always wants us to be moving our soul towards him. He always wants us to be calling him our Lord and our Savior. And weariness, we can become weary from well-doing. Many of you know that. Many of you have been caretaking here, looking after people, and you can become weary in it. And we become weary from our own desires and our own ambitions. And, you know, this is where Jesus said, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And if we can, you know, just hand over the control of ourselves and give this to him, I think that the weariness from self-will is one of the biggest areas that I know that a lot of us face. Weariness of just living life, you know, and in many, many different ways. So I'm just going to ask Pastor Jim to come back and Pastor Randy, but I just want to really encourage you today that the most important thing that we can do, most important thing we can do is know how his compassion towards us and how he loves us, each one of us.
Amen. Thank you, Elaine. Just stay here with you.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have the house lights up, please?